My first guest this morning will be J.J. Teleton of Gerard's House, and we're going to talk about a unique program for children called Stepping Stones. In the second half of the program, you'll meet Andrea Skalberg, a chef, cookbook author, and former owner of a cafe in Sweden. We'll be talking about what else? Food, and especially about the Swedish celebration of Santa Lucia Day. Good morning, J.J. Thanks for joining us.
Oh, good morning, Hollis. Thanks for having me.
You're so welcome. It's so interesting how Providence sort of creates these programs sometimes. A friend of mine just recently handed me a brochure about your program, and I read it and thought, I've got to have her on the show when I'm sitting in. So thanks for being here. So for people who don't know anything about Gerard's House, give us the Cliff's Notes on what it does.
Gerard's House is a Santa Fe-based program that is a nonprofit organization whose mission is to meet the needs of children who live in the area who have had someone who's died or someone who has a life-threatening illness. So we offer bereavement groups for these children, and whether they're 3 years old or 21, and we run those throughout the year, so there is no cost to those who participate. And we also have parent groups going on at the same time. So we're meeting the needs of the whole family as they cope with grief.
So if a child comes to a grief group, then the parents can be going to a group at the same time and get support.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. Perfect. So tell me about your work and this program that you've developed. It was based on something you did in St. Louis. Is that correct?
Yes, I came from a background of pediatric hospice and a bereavement program there that involved camps and follow-up for children who'd lost a family member in adult hospice as well. And so the program we've started here as an adjunct, an outreach of Gerard's House, is called Stepping Stones. And it's kind of a two-tiered, two-gold program. One is it's an outreach, so it's taking what happens perhaps Gerard's House at the center to the home. And the other prong of the program is working with children who are living with illness in some fashion. A parent is, or a sibling, grandparent, or themselves have a life-limiting illness.
So life-limiting is kind of a buzzword in social work and bereavement and stuff. But in other words, someone in the home has a serious illness that will probably lead to their death sooner or later.
Yes.
Right. So why is a program like this important? How do children deal with these situations in a different way than adults?
That's a good point and good question. It's not so obvious sometimes how children are coping or not. You know, you'll see maybe more indirect signs like challenges at school or more irritable, more regressed behavior, let's say, or
like a child who's eight might begin bedwetting again or things like that?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
Or difficulty sleeping. Mm-hmm. Or maybe there's no obvious signs, but it's important to remember that children are very much impacted by what's happening around them.
And not to be pathologizing, we're not saying they're wrong or there's something wrong with their response. They're having normal responses to grief and loss for a child.
Yes.
Is that right?
Yes. I often say I worry more about the child who's not showing any signs of being affected by this illness in the family. So, yes.
And so, very practically, how does this work? You or another volunteer person goes to the home and
yes.
does what?
Yes. Usually, when it works, we have two of us who go to the home. And, for example, one child family we went to last week, there was two of us. And usually, one of us works just with the children, and the other one works and spends time with the parent or the caregiver supporting them. And in that first visit, for example, we might use art, for example, as a way to understand what's going on with the children, just to kind of help them feel safe, to trust us, to have a chance to just express what's going on in a very non-threatening way, and it's a really wonderful opening for these children. They really seem to like most of the time that someone's coming in and wants to be there for them, because everyone who walks in the door, especially if you're in hospice, let's say, everyone's there for everybody else in the family. And the child sometimes can feel like, well, who's there for me? So now here's someone for me.
So the fact that you're an outsider coming in and paying attention to them is actually a good thing for the child.
Yes, it's a safety factor. Yes.
Yeah, and the parents or whoever is around don't necessarily have enough time to spend with the child, or why can't the family provide enough support?
Well, certainly they provide huge support and stuff, but what's really nice is that it is a stranger, it's a neutral person coming in, and then often there's this cloak of secrecy, not often, but sometimes in the family, where we just aren't really talking about it. We're going to protect the children, and the children are protecting the parents, so there's this mutual story going on of that there's really nothing going on.
But children are pretty smart.
Absolutely. And so what's really nice is, let's say a child creates a piece of art, a story, and then if they would like, they share that with the parent, and the parent gets a window into what's going on with their child. And so it really helps open the doorway of how everyone is feeling and how everyone is thinking.
I'm talking with J.J. Teleton, a volunteer at Gerard's House, who is responsible for a wonderful program called Stepping Stones. And just in case you don't know about Gerard's House, you can go to gerardshouse.org for more information. Or if you're interested in one of the programs for children in bereavement and their families, you can call 424-1800. So tell me about, you were telling me earlier about a specific kind of artwork that you do with children with a pillowcase.
Yes. One of the things we love to do when we go in is, as a first kind of introductory activity, is just present the child with a pillowcase, a blank canvas. And this is also really wonderful if you've got 10 siblings. You never know how many family or cousins or everyone else. So everyone sits around this pillowcase with markers and with the intent of putting messages on there or drawing pictures or whatever that connects them with the person that's sick. Maybe a favorite memory with dad when we used to go fishing, or drawing the whole family, or writing a letter, whatever the children want to do. And then they are so excited most of the time to share that with the family. So it's a huge bit of canvas and an opportunity for the children to do something that's fun, that's safe, but that's hugely healing for the child and the family members. And I've seen these pillowcases hung on walls. I've seen them put on a pillow on the bed. I've seen them at funerals.
And do the children ask you, because you're this neutral outsider who's come in and who obviously is not avoiding the elephant in the room, do they ask you questions about what's happening with their family member or the sick person?
Sometimes they do, but not so much, not as much as you might think. And we certainly walk in and honor where the family's at. Mm-hmm. Because with the family, you know, we don't tell the children or get them to talk too much about things that the family maybe doesn't want them to do. So we work within that parameter of how much the family has told the children. Mm-hmm. And we might guide the family, the parents, on how do I tell the children. Uh-huh. You know, so we would do that, but it's still in the family's realm to dictate, you know, how they communicate that with the children.
Right. So you're not going in and telling some child that, yes, your mother's dying and blah, blah, blah. You're doing, excuse me, whatever it is the family has told them about the illness or whatever's going on.
Yes.
Yeah, that's really great. Now, you also mentioned to me that you have a program, you have a Spanish language program as well.
Yes.
Is that correct?
Yes, we do have a new Spanish language program that's called Nuestra Jornada, and it is designed to meet the needs of those in the community who are experiencing some kind of loss. So it might be a loss of, related to immigration, it might be incarceration, it might be a loss related to death. And so we have been doing, and most often it's a Spanish-speaking group. So we're doing groups at Gerard's house for them and also in the schools.
So this is separate from your Stepping Stones program, but it's an expansion of things that are offered at Gerard's house already.
Yes, this is another new program that we are offering at Gerard's house.
And do you have volunteers in the Stepping Stones program who speak Spanish, who can go into a Spanish-speaking home?
Yes, we do.
Excellent. Excellent. So I'm very glad to hear that you're doing that program, because we do have such a large Spanish-speaking community, and especially of new immigrants who would be more comfortable speaking in their native language.
Yes.
So, yeah. So tell me about some of the kinds of people that you've worked with, obviously with the appropriate privacy controls. But how does that work for you? What's that like?
You know, we've had children who have life-limiting illnesses themselves. So we work directly with those children. We certainly work with siblings who are dealing with a sick sibling, sick brother, sister, or it could be a sister or brother who's had a long-term chronic illness or disability.
What kind of disability? You mean someone who had a sibling who was maybe developmentally disabled?
Maybe cerebral palsy, cystic fibrosis.
Because a child who's a sibling of a very ill child, I imagine, can feel very ignored in the family when everyone seems to have to pay more attention to the sick child.
Yes, exactly. It's a very challenging time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So when you go into the home like this, is this something you go once a week, or how often does this happen?
We kind of look at what the family needs, mm-hmm. and how acute maybe a situation is or what's happening. So it might be once a week. It might be once a month. It might just be one visit period. It might be a series of visits. It's really open and flexible in terms of what they need.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes we're also going in to the home for where there's been a death. And for one reason or another, these children cannot get into Gerard's house for a group.
Mm-hmm.
Or
maybe transportation is a problem.
Exactly. Or,
mm-hmm.
or distance
mm-hmm.
from the center, or maybe a complicated grief situation.
Mm-hmm.
So in those situations, we're also going into the home to work with the children and their
mm-hmm.
families.
Mm-hmm. Complicated grief. Talk about that. What's that mean?
When there's other problems that seem to be happening at the same time. Maybe some serious school issues, maybe some suicidal ideation, maybe...
Maybe multiple people have died or
yes.
are affected.
Yes. And then certainly for some of those, you know, we're walking in mostly as a support program, so we see people who need more of a therapeutic intervention. You know, we're right there referring them to a resource for them in the community that can help address those needs and problems and
challenges. They could, so where their grief is outside of the bounds of normality or an intervention such as yourself and your program can do, where they need to see a child psychologist perhaps, you find resources for them in
yes,
the community.
Yes, exactly.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So what's been the most surprising part about doing this work? How is it different from your work in pediatric hospice?
It's been really interesting to see how open and receptive really most of these children are to having someone come in the home and to create stories. We use a lot of sand tray play therapy, which is great. We bring it into the home, and it gives them the chances these children have for just expressing what's going on, and having that honored is beautiful to see.
And so do you see a lot of anger? Are lots of children experiencing anger that they haven't been able to express because it's not okay under the circumstances?
Sometimes, mm-hmm. and especially with teenagers
mm-hmm.
and stuff. So that's, you do see that.
Yeah. And sand tray play. Not everyone knows what a sand tray is. Tell how that works.
A sand tray is a big box of sand and various quantities of miniature figures of all different genres and all different types, people, animals, buildings, you name it. And all you simply do is create a world in the sand. And it's a very powerful technique and thing to bring to the child, because you're really, all you're doing is putting this in front of them and saying, make a world, and what the child can compose without having to use words, and to move beyond words into symbols, is often really a powerful thing. And then also you learn a lot about the child, seeing what world they create, but it's a free, open, very interesting activity for them.
In terms of people who may have a child in their lives who is experiencing this kind of situation where someone has a life-threatening illness in the home, or maybe it's grandma or someone that may not live with them but to whom they're very close, what is your best advice to how to support a child in that situation?
Well, we really like to encourage people to be as open as they feel comfortable being open, because the more children know what's happening, the easier it is for them. Because magical thinking doesn't just happen at 4 or 5 or 6, it happens all the time. And so when children aren't kept abreast, let's say, of to some level of what's happening with mom or with grandmother, then they tend to create stories within themselves that may be very far from what's happening, and tend to think that it's perhaps something they did that's caused this problem.
It's kind of a classic response to think that, because when you're a child, it's all about me. And so
yes,
if something's wrong, then I've done something wrong to make this happen. In other
right.
words. Yeah.
Or why is mom so angry all the time?
Yeah.
And jumping down my case all the time. Yeah. Well, mom's, if you knew that mom had cancer, let's say, and was coping with that, then perhaps you would also understand, especially at the adolescent level, you would understand what mom's going through. So that level of empathy.
So for another adult in the home, or even an older sibling, to be able to say to a young child especially, I'm really scared and I feel weird because mom is in bed all the time. Or something, to say things
yes.
like that, to try to normalize what is this child experiencing.
Right. Yeah.
Am I on the right track
there?
No,
that's a good, and that's such a great word you use, normalize, because that's what we're doing.
Yeah.
And that's what anyone can do, is just try to normalize and make sure that that child is getting enough attention, enough time as well. Because it's hard when the other parent is a caregiver and all their energy and time is going to caregiving.
Yes.
So the child isn't getting to go out to dinner or to the rink or
whatever
all those
they
kinds
might do
of things.
For fun.
Yes. Yes.
So the holidays are upon us, and I thought we might talk briefly about how you can be supportive at the holidays for children who have or are experiencing grief or loss of some kind. How does that impact during the holidays?
Well, holidays can be a really hard time when we have grief, and especially in that first year. But 10 years, you know, it's still a challenging time, because we miss those we've loved so much during this time, and there's all those memories and rituals that were once done that are different now. And I think the most important thing for the whole family is allowing oneself to grieve, or allowing oneself to be sad. You know, people will sometimes just keep really, really busy, so then I can just like kind of not go there. But it's having a moment of allowing. And certain things that can be done that help that are things like maybe lighting a memory candle and at the table, so that's, you have this symbol, or flowers. Or I've seen people do a wreath of candles, and maybe each day you light a candle and say a prayer or a poem or share a story.
Or have a picture.
Have a picture, exactly.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
I've also seen people set up a stocking for mom, whoever, the loved one that has died. Mm-hmm. And in that stocking, each family member writes memories and puts them in the stocking. And then maybe on Christmas or the day before, you go through and pull out those memories and talk about them.
Mm-hmm.
It's many families have said that's been so helpful to do.
Also, to leave a seat empty at the table. I remember when my father died that it was important. No one wanted to sit in his chair. That was very strange. So, you know, leaving that seat empty for him, and talking about what it was like in years past when he was there, you know, is a good way, I think.
Yeah, that's very helpful.
Yeah, yeah. So what else? What else is going on at Gerard's house? How many children do you serve? Do you have any idea? You're not the executive director. That's not a fair question.
We run about 5 series of groups a year that run for 8 weeks. And we have run camps in the summer. So I'm thinking it's like 200 to 300.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's 250 children a year, about, depending on the year, that we certainly serve. And it's all at no cost to the community, which is so great that we can offer that.
Yeah,
and without a cost.
And many of the projects, like the one you're involved in, are run by volunteers, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Certainly the vast majority of staff are volunteers.
Our volunteers.
That are well, we're all well trained.
Right.
And so Gerard's House is funded with grants, with donations. We have a yearly fundraiser, the Comfort Food Classic, that we usually hold in April.
Uh-huh.
That helps raise funds so that we can do all of these things and bring these services to the community.
Thanks so much. J.J. Tellerton of Gerard's House has been with me. We've been talking about Stepping Stones, a program where outreach workers go into the home and work with kids who are experiencing loss and grief, or a family member who has a life-limiting illness. If you'd like to know more about Gerard's House and this program in particular, you can go online to gerardshouse.org, or you can call 424-1800. Thank you so much, J.J., for being here.
Oh, thank you so much.